Well, we're going to start a brand new series. And this is how this new series came about. Just before Christmas, I had a dream. Now, as you look through the scriptures, you see that God can speak to us in many particular ways. And one of the ways that God speaks to people in the Bible and speaks to people today is in divine dreams. And there's been a number of occasions when God has guided us as a church or spoken to individuals in a church, and it's been a divine dream. You know the difference when you wake up in the morning, and you know it's not too much pizza or cheese or that ham sandwich I ate last thing at night. And God comes to us and communicates some direction or a revelation in a dream. It never contradicts the Bible. It is always tested by what the Bible says so that you can say, how do I know if this is a dream from God or a dream from myself? There are some tests that you can put into place so that you know whether or not something is of God or not. But in this dream, just before Christmas, there was a picture of Adam. Now, sometimes in dreams, people represent certain things. So, for example, you could have a father figure come to you in a dream, and it could represent the Father, God the Father. Or a brother could come to you in a dream, and sometimes that could represent even Jesus, who the Bible says is our elder brother. In this occasion, there was Adam in the dream. Now, who knows what one of Adam's primary ministries are in the life of the church here? A teacher. He's a teacher, isn't he, of the Bible. And he is an outstanding and excellent Bible teacher. And so when Adam was in the dream, I knew it represented the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher in the Bible. Jesus says, I will send you another comforter like me, and he will teach you all things, the Holy Spirit. And so Adam was in the dream representing the Holy Spirit, and he pointed at me like this. And these are the words that came out of his mouth. Teach the church the importance of speaking in tongues and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Teach the church the importance of speaking in tongues and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go on a new series that will take us up to April, and we're going to be looking at tongues, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Bible that release to us the power and the person of Jesus. So we're going to explore that together. And as we take it on board, and we really take it seriously, our lives together and your lives individually, I believe, are going to come into what Sarah was praying this morning, a transforming experience of God. Should we do that together? So the first session, I'm going to give an overview. And then Sarah's going to pick up next week, and various ones of us are going to begin to teach and unpack this theme. So this is an introductory session. God has something to say to you and I and us about spiritual gifts, supernatural encounters with God and the Holy Spirit. It's important, this series, for our personal and spiritual development together. For those of you who don't speak in tongues and may have heard of the phrase, this is going to be something that you will be able to learn about, and you'll be able to pursue and seek earnestly, because we're invited by Paul the Apostle in the Bible to pursue spiritual gifts. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant or without knowledge of spiritual gifts. And so you're going to learn about things that you can pursue, because God wants to give you some things and do some things in your life. For those of you who are familiar with speaking in tongues, but maybe don't practice it on a regular basis daily, this series will impress upon you the importance of speaking in tongues and the benefits of regularly praying to God, communicating to God in this spiritual language. And for those of you who are familiar with tongues, it will affirm and increase your faith so that you may have greater breakthrough in your personal lives and ministries as you serve God. For speaking in tongues is a breakthrough gift. It's a doorway gift into other experiences and gifts of God. Tongues is like, it basically is a doorway. It leads to other things. If you were to ask Clem, who is a prophet, who visits us from the States from time to time, and he has tremendous ability to recognize and hear the voice of God and what God wants to say over individuals in the church. And that's what a prophetic ministry is, and he's a prophet. If you were to ask him, what is one of the keys for you to prepare your heart that you may hear the voice of God? And I've asked him this question, and I've asked many prophets this question, and I'm surprised how many of them say the same thing. And this is what they say, speaking in tongues. And when I'm standing next to Clem, just before he's about to prophesy, he is speaking in tongues all the way through the worship, preparing his heart to hear the voice of God. When I go and travel, and people say, would you come and pray for people to be healed physically? I am praying in tongues through the worship a lot, asking God to show who do you want to heal and to release his power. You see, tongues is a doorway gift into other things for us. So for those of you who speak in tongues, this will encourage you to actually step it up that you may have more. More. Okay. In this session, I want to demonstrate the importance of speaking tongues as it is connected with the coming of the Holy Spirit to enable us to serve Jesus with power. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God is one, but he consists of three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Father is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person. God the Son, Jesus, is a person. Three persons, but together, one God. Our human minds can't understand it. It is beyond the ability of the human mind to say, how can you be three individual persons and yet be one essence, God? Human mind, because it's limited, can't understand it. But we are not created divine. We are created human, limited. So because we can't understand something doesn't mean that it is not true. It is just that we are operating at a different dimension, a created dimension, which is limited. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is fully God. And together with the Son and the Father, make up the Godhead. There is a promise embedded in the Bible from beginning to end, and it is called the promise of the Father, which is the promise that the Holy Spirit will be given to us and come to us and live in us and upon us and commune with us and be like Jesus was to the disciples. Jesus says to his disciples, it is good for me that I leave you, in John chapter 15, 16, 17. It's good for me that I leave you. For if I do not leave you, the counselor, the comforter, the teacher will not come. I will ask the Father to send you another comforter. In other words, what he's saying is another one just like me. Who is that other one just like Jesus that the Father's going to send? It is the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus went back to heaven, and the Father sent and gave to the disciples and now to each follower of Christ the Holy Spirit to be with them, to guide, to lead, to teach, to help, empower, to transform. And this coming of the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, and it is embedded in the Bible and into the Old Testament and prophesied by the major Old Testament prophets. Ezekiel chapter 36. Look at this. This is what God is saying through the prophet thousands of years ago. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. Look at it, in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and carefully keep my laws. This is a totally different operating system to as it was before. There was the law of Moses, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Thou shalt not do this and thou shalt do that. And it was a law. And you look at that law and you go, I'd like to keep that law, but I can't because there is no power in the law. There's just a command, do it or else. But God, the Father, promises a day will come when he will put his spirit in us, and with the spirit in us, that spirit will move us, in other words, empower us. It will give us the power to, what does the Bible say? Follow my decrees. Now it's not an exterior law saying, thou shalt, but it's an internal force saying, you can. Isn't that great news? And this is the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit in us, moving us to walk in the ways of God. Here's another verse. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Afterwards, this is speaking about the end times where after Jesus has come in the flesh, he's gone back to heaven. He says, in those days afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people, not just a selected few. Not just a prophet here and there in the Old Testament within a Jewish limited community. On all peoples of the earth, I will pour out my spirit. On your sons and daughters will prophesy. Ah, this is amazing. All people will get my spirit. And my sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Yeah, you can't fight it forever. Old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days. This is the promise of the Father. So the great news about this is now it's not just the Old Testament prophets who get an encounter with God, but all people, all flesh, who would believe in Jesus. It's a gift of the Father. And we get to get revelation, communication, intimacy, God involved and moving in and through our lives. John the Baptist talked about this when he says, one more mighty than me is coming, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. I baptize you in water, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. John the Baptist talked about it. And now Jesus, the resurrected Jesus who died on the cross and rose again, the resurrected Jesus, this is now one of his ministries or service or functions to us as a church to pour out the Spirit. Because John the Baptist says, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the baptizer, the giver of the Holy Spirit. And he says to the disciples, I will ask the Father to give you this promise, this gift. And so Jesus is asking the Father. And so Jesus and the Father, they are conduits of the presence and the power of God to our lives. Isn't that fantastic? Are you excited? It's great, isn't it? Let's turn over the page. So, Jesus then commanded his disciples to wait until they had this promise of the Father. This was so important. The Jews were waiting for a Messiah, but they were also waiting for the promise of the Father. And now Jesus is saying, the promise of the Father is going to come to you. Time's up. Christmas has come. It's like a child waiting for Christmas. Christmas has come. Wait in the living room, and the gifts are going to turn up. And Jesus says to the disciples, I want you to go to the upper room, and there was 120 of them, wait in that living room, wait in that upper room, because Daddy is coming with gifts of power. Listen to what he says. On one occasion, this is just after the resurrection, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift, my Father promised. There it is. We've just read it. Which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized, soaked, saturated, absorbed in the Holy Spirit. So, this is something they had to wait for, and it was after the resurrection of Jesus. It was for believers who had witnessed the resurrected Jesus and were now following him. And it was for those who had already received something of the Holy Spirit already. Let me show you what it says. Jesus, in John chapter 20, verse 19, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This verse, wait in Jerusalem, is an experience and an encounter that is after this experience of having the breath of the Holy Spirit upon them. So what we're talking about here is we believe in Christ and we receive the Holy Spirit and we have become a child of God. It's like the initiation, the adoption into the family of God. We are changed. We are made brand new. Jesus used these terms, born again. It means to have a spiritual birth by the Holy Spirit when we believe in Christ and I am changed. But this, and Jesus breathed upon them and they received his Spirit. But this encounter here in Acts chapter 4 in the upper room where Jesus is saying, wait, is after that. So this is something else. And this is not the giving of the Holy Spirit that we become born again, become made a Christian, become a child of God, receive eternal life and a place in heaven. This is something else. This is a receiving of power to serve Jesus with equipment to get the job done. And it's called spiritual gifts. Gifts that are beyond your human ability. I don't have the ability to speak a language I have never learned. But there is a spiritual gift called speaking in tongues, which is a spiritual language that you, a prayer language, that you can communicate to God, but you've never learned it. I have the ability to study and acquire all sorts of knowledge. Let me come out with the light. All sorts of knowledge. But I don't have the ability to know what cannot be learnt. So when I'm in a meeting, as I was recently, and I said, Lord, is there anybody here you want to heal? And I see a picture of a damaged ankle, and I say, there's somebody here with a damaged ankle here, and a man puts his hand up who's been injured for 20 years from the Territory Army and has walked every day in pain. I did not learn that piece of knowledge. It was given through a spiritual gift. It was beyond the ability to know it, to learn it in the moment. And then he stood up, he walked towards me, I stopped and said, where's the pain now? He looked down and it was completely and totally gone. And he was healed. And I went back some 3-4 months later and he has been totally and completely pain-free from that day. Three gifts operating. One, the gift of tongues, we talked about that. Second, a gift of prophecy or word of knowledge where you know something that you haven't learned. And secondly, a gift to do something I can't naturally do. Heal an injury. Can't do that. Three gifts. So what happens, we're talking about here, a receiving and a releasing of power that is beyond, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I'm going to heaven, I've been made brand new, my life has been changed, isn't it wonderful? Yes. We are receiving a power that is clothing you to live and serve differently with a supernatural ability. Yeah? And that's why, after Jesus was raised from the dead, he said to them, before you go out to all the world and tell everybody about me and spread this message, wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Father, which is the anointing and the power that the prophets had. It's a ministry and power for serving. And here it is. So, let me move on. Jesus goes on to say then, in that moment, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and as a result, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You see the purpose of this power. It is that we may be witnesses for Christ. That is, we may effectively serve him and make him known. With the way that we live, with the words that we say, and with the equipment of spiritual gift that God gives us. So, let's read what happened. You following me? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. A bit like us now. Isn't that exciting? We're in the right place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. They were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that were separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture, and there are four significant things that we need to take notice of. First of all, there was a powerful, forceful wind that came from heaven. In the Bible, wind and spirit are the same word. So you might as well say there was a powerful and forceful move of the Spirit that to human mind was like a mighty rushing wind. The Spirit came forcefully and powerfully, and where did it come from? It says it came from heaven. Isn't that great? This is something from heaven. Secondly, tongues of fire came and rested on each one of them. And fire in the Bible represents the consuming presence of God. So fire, the consuming presence of God, came in power and rested on each individual. Every single one of them, men and women, all of them, they got it. They got him, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then it says, if we look at it, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So what we see, the Holy Spirit upon them and the power of the Holy Spirit in them. This was upon them and in them. And then finally, we see all spoke in tongues. Little word, very significant. All spoke in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Why were they speaking in tongues, an unlearned language? Why did God do this? Why was tongues accompanied with the Spirit's filling and presence? Why did they all speak in tongues? Now, there's many reasons we can conclude. There's some symbolic ones. For example, in the Old Testament, you have the Tower of Babel, where the peoples of the earth united, and they all spoke one common language at that time. And they united to build a great big tower, but it was a rebellion against God. And God says, I'm going to scatter these people, all give them a separate language, because if they come together in this way, there will be untold evil that they will do. Think of the evil in the world that fallen humanity does when we're separate. Can you imagine what could happen? Yeah? When we combine our evil. But in the New Testament, we see now God reversing creation, the evil in the world. He's saying, I'm setting up a new humanity. And they all spoke a language. And it was like a reversal of the Tower of Babel. But that's one thing. But the other thing is this. There was an association with speaking in tongues and the power of Pentecost. Tongues accompanied the promise of the Father. There's an important connection with tongues and living in the power of the Spirit. Tongues was the first gift. It was the first spiritual gift that we see in the early church. Now, when we see firsts in the Bible, we need to take notice of them. Firsts in the Bible are very important to God, and he packs them with meaning. So in the creation, we see the book of beginnings, Adam and Eve were created. In the beginning was a first. And we see in the firsts, stacked with significance about how human beings are to relate to one another. We see government in the beginning, rule, he said to Adam and Eve, over the fish in the sea, I give you government. We see marriage and family as an institution of life to bring stability. In the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, we see a whole stack of stuff that pertains to how God has ordained life to work and function in a healthy and whole way. In this new creation of the coming of the kingdom and the creation of the church and the establishing of like a new humanity, a new way of living, we see a stack of firsts. And it is not insignificant that the coming of the power of the Holy Spirit is associated and connected with speaking in tongues. All of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Why? Because tongues and power go together. Tongues is a gateway gift into the power of the Spirit. It's a gateway gift into greater revelation. It's a gateway gift into becoming a stronger person in your spirit. Paul says, he who speaks in tongues strengthens his spirit. It's a gateway gift into spiritual strength. It's a great way, gateway gift into breakthrough. Many people I know who have suffered with oppression or depression or anxiety or temptation or a difficulty, and they have prayed in tongues relentlessly and they've had a breakthrough. I've experienced it in my own life. This power and tongues go together. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have power if you don't have tongues. You can. It doesn't mean that you, if you don't speak in the gift of tongues, you are not baptized or filled with the power of the presence of Jesus to serve him. You can, so don't misunderstand me. But speaking in tongues is a tool in our spiritual armament that is out there for every believer to have if they want it and pursue it. Do you understand? So you can have it, you can have power without tongues. But it's like this. I can drive a car without a turbocharged engine. But give me a turbocharged engine. I'll get up to 70 eventually. But if you can have a turbocharged engine in your engine, wouldn't you want it? Yeah? So you can move in these things, but this is a spiritual gift You know, I can build a wall without a trowel. I could do it with a spoon, but I'd rather a trowel. You understand what I'm trying to say? And we can't discount the fact that the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking tongues in Scripture time and time again came together. And that's why I believe in this dream, and I hadn't planned on teaching on this series, but in this dream, the Holy Spirit said, teach the church the importance of speaking in tongues and living in the power of the Spirit. Now, some people will say, oh, hang on a minute, Julian. It says all speak in tongues there, but Paul says, do all speak in tongues? Meaning that not all do or can. We have to understand in the book of Corinthians, and we'll unpack this in greater detail as time goes on, but just so that you don't get hung up with doubt through a misapplication of Scripture. When Paul is saying, do all speak in tongues, he's speaking in the context of addressing the misuse of a particular type of tongue, which is in a public meeting where somebody will speak up because God wants to bring an interpretation to that tongue. It is a particular type of using the gift of tongues that is in a public meeting that demands an interpretation. And the Christians in Corinth were misusing it because they were all speaking up one after another. There was no time for anybody to pray or get a word in edgeway. There was no interpretation, and that type of tongue needed one, and it was a misuse. And he was saying, do all speak in tongues? Do all speak up publicly in tongues in a way that demands interpretation? No. The reality is, I've been used in many spiritual gifts: prophecy, healing, word of knowledge, speaking in tongues, discerning of spirit and miracles. I've seen many. But you know, I've never been used in the gift of standing up in a public meeting, speaking in tongues with an interpretation. I've never done that. But I speak in tongues devotionally, privately, every day. He's addressing a different gift. And this gift here was the personal, devotional, spiritual language that is accessible for every believer if we are thirsty, exercise faith, and persistently pursue God until he gives it to us. Okay? So he's not addressing a personal devotional tongues, which is what I'm talking about here and the focus of our series. This is different. It's for private prayer, worship, and breakthrough. It's associated with power. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And that's why God wants us to learn about it. The importance of speaking in tongues and living in the power of the Spirit. And next week, Sarah is going to unpack that even more. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that you love us so much and you're so eager to be involved in our lives that you want us to learn about these spiritual gifts, Holy Spirit, tongues, and other gifts so that we can see your power breaking through in our lives. I want to thank you that through this series, we pray that you will remove confusion. We pray that you will increase our faith, and you will also at the same time bring us into biblical balance. There's no extremities, but at the same time, we are exercising faith as well. We ask that we will be led and guided by the Holy Spirit in this season in the light of Scripture. But most of all, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to fill us and baptize us and do amazing things with us individually and as a church in this next season. We're praying that we will have a fresh outpouring of power and encounters with God in this season. That at the end of it, when Easter comes, we'll go, wow, I'm a different person. It's like we're a different church because we have seen God at work in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.